We're going to open it up.
May 27, 2015. At the suggestion of my very gracious vice chair, the other vice chair, we are going to open a work session on House Bill 2668A. And I understand, Representative Wilson, we have individuals from your area, Cliff Thomason and Mark Gatlin, who are here, come a long way, and we invite you up to testify right now. Welcome, and identify yourself for the record. You can pull the microphones close, and whichever one would like to go first.
Cliff Thomason from Grants Pass.
Mark Gatlin from Grants Pass as well. Great.
Please, go right ahead.
Again, my name is Cliff Thomason. I'm president of the Oregon Hemp Company. We're growing industrial hemp in southern Oregon in Josephine County. So it's of great concern that this House bill is being considered, and with the revisions and amendments that have been put forward would essentially put us out of business. And that is something that wasn't the intent of the law when it was written, and the amendments are only serving a few people and taking away the opportunity for many others. Our company was created to help create jobs and industry in Oregon, and this House Bill 2668 works against that. They're putting in restrictions not based on science, because the science has been put forward during the initiation of the hemp bill, and is just based on fear of the medical marijuana growing industry of cross-pollination. So looking at the A7 and A8s, they're also finding a way to do away with industrial hemp by way of technicalities on the application process through the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and that was not their intention to purposely produce applications that weren't in compliance. There's only 13 permit holders throughout the state, and to say that all 13 of them purposely or willfully went against the regulations when it was just an honest mistake by the Department of Agriculture, doesn't serve to help promote the economy of Oregon. It only serves to hurt it. The one of the big problems has been the concern about cross-pollination, because if you were to take a male industrial hemp plant, and if it was the pollen was to go and cross-pollinate with a marijuana plant, it would turn their flowers or buds to seed, making that worthless. You know, in our discussions with medical growers, you know, we've offered compromise if this bill was to go through, and that would be to only allow females outside and males to be grown inside, which goes against with a lot of these amendments, which is calling for sterilized males, which really have no purpose on this earth. But to propagate seed, you need to have both. We've been willing to compromise and do seed propagation indoors in greenhouses so as to not allow the pollen to travel. All the amendments are calling for no viable males, and so it's self-defeating. Females can be grown outside. That's what the medical field grows. They grow cloned females, and you don't have the pollination issue. And with our compromise, you wouldn't either. And that's only if this is to go through and get passage. We'd like to, you know, to see Josephine, Jackson, and Douglas County have the ability to grow this in a safe, responsible, respectful way of the medical marijuana industry. But what we don't want is to be cut out of this grand opportunity, especially in the medical field of industrial hemp, which puts us on a level equal to or greater than the medical marijuana industry because of the sheer volume of plants that we can grow. We're not limited by the number of plants. We're actually have to grow at least 2.5 acres, and we'd like to be on thousands of acres within the next few years.
Thank you, Mr. Thomason. We will If you'll entertain questions, we'll ask the panel after the next testimony. Mr. Gatlin.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, and Senate, or I should say House Committee. My name is Mark Gatlin. I am a city councilor for the City of Grants Pass, also a one-time candidate for Josephine County Commissioner. As a candidate, I was able to go out to several gatherings and meet with folks in our county, and those gatherings spoke to many farmers and agriculturalists that were looking at the problems that our county faces, not only with public safety, but in jobs in general. And one of the looming large areas for these farmers was the new GMO ban. I had one farmer in particular said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a GMO farmer. And I said, well, have you considered hemp? And he said, you know, I have considered that. Is that something that's coming down the road? And I said, it's very possible. In fact, the new farm bill allows this to happen here in our county. And we already know that we have a very fertile area for this particular plant. We know that we can make hay, as it were, with this industrial plant. I don't need to remind you of our county's situation. As one of the ONC counties that have suffered by the loss of the timber industry and the revenues from that industry, we are constantly looking for ways to reinvent ourselves. This is one of those ways. In fact, we can become the leaders in the United States as the new industry emerges. We have currently in our county a seed processor who is ready and able to handle the seed from these plants. We have been shopped by other farmers and industrialists that are looking to relocate from Europe into Josephine County because we have a ban on GMOs, and we also have the great soil and climate that this particular plant needs to thrive. Everything about this plant says that we can emerge as an industry leader and very quickly, but this bill does the opposite for that. In fact, it is designed, whether intentional or not, it's designed to kill this industry, and we cannot let that happen. In a situation where we are struggling just to find money to keep sheriff deputies on the road, we have the ability to emerge as a leader in the industry for Josephine, or for the United States, in Josephine, Douglas, and Jackson counties. If this bill passes, that goes away, and the opportunity for that is lost forever. It's not possible to regain the foothold that this time and this place has for us. So I ask you to consider these areas where jobs are on the line, industry is on the line, counties, families are on the line. They are looking for ways to survive and to thrive. We found one. This bill would absolutely kill it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for those comments. Are there questions from the committee? Representative Wilson.
Mr. Vice Chair, thank you. I want to thank my friends for coming up today, making the trip to talk about this. I also join you in opposition to the bill. This is ultimately going to be a community that no particular industry owns, and it's going to have to be worked out. We're going to have to share this land between hemp and marijuana and ultimately the vineyard owners as well, because they've got interest in what goes on in Josephine County agriculture as well and how it may affect them. So it is my hope that this bill does not go forward as we see. I'm not terribly familiar with the amendments that we have. I'll take an opportunity to look at those later, but I would just agree with the testimony today. This is something that Josephine County cannot afford to do with the bill as it currently stands, because we may have finally found a combination of things that will begin to rescue us from losing our natural resource industry and never recovering from it. So, again, thank you, gentlemen, for coming up. appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Any other comments or questions for our two guests? Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and thank you again. I'm going to close the work session for now, and we'll keep you informed, I'm sure, from your representative as to this bill's next direction.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I close that public hearing on House Bill 2668A. And I'd like to open a public hearing, but with the vice chair, the chair gone, and the only Democrat being Representative Barnhart, if you're here for any of these bills, you can leave the all right. Just a little humor for Representative Barnhart. I'd like to open a public hearing on HCR 29. And is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on this bill? Representative Hack.
Good afternoon. Very
nice to see you. Please identify for the record, and we look forward to your testimony.
Vice Chair Gilliam and members of the committee, I am Representative Jody Hack, and I represent South Salem, Almsville, and Turner. And I'm here today to speak with you about HCR 29, which congratulates the South Salem High School girls varsity basketball team for winning a state championship.
And Representative, the microphones are not very sensitive in this room. There you go. Thank you.
Okay. So HCR congratulates the South Salem High School varsity girls basketball team for winning the 2015 state championship. And the reason why this is so important is because they have not won a state championship since 1976. That's 39 years that they went with a dry streak. And so I would like to recognize them for their hard work and dedication. They won their victory by beating St. Mary's Academy at Child Center on March 14th. It was a 56-50 victory, and the girls went undefeated throughout their season. So this is quite an accomplishment, and I would like to ask for your support in recognizing these girls for their efforts.
Thank you, Representative. Are there questions for Representative Hack? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
And if there's no one else in the room, shall we put off voting on this?
I think we're minus one person.
Carlin, move it.
Let's move
it.
Yep. Yeah, we need one more. We need
Can we go find him?
I'm sensing that members would like to move the bill.
We need to get
there
Carl back. There he is.
Let's go, Wilson.
There
he is. They want to move.
Am I interpreting that right?
Yeah, let's go. Right, we're going to HCR 29.
We are.
That's
so
he has to open it.
I will close the public hearing on HCR 29 and open a work session on HCR 29.
Mr. Chair,
I would love to have your motion.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 29 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Barnhart has moved HCR 29 to the floor with a recommended to be adopted motion. Is there any discussion about this bill? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I just want to congratulate the South Salem High School girls varsity basketball team on their 2015 state championship. That's wonderful.
And we can do so with an aye vote. Are there other comments? Seeing none, Zoe, will you call the roll?
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Kennemer.
Aye.
Excused.
Representative McLean.
Aye.
Representative Rayfield.
Excused.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith Warner.
Excused.
Chair Hoyle.
Excused.
Vice Chair Gillis.
Aye.
Got the five drama.
The motion carries. Yes. It's tempting. Let's see. McLean. No, I guess Representative Hack. Will you carry the bill?
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. And with that, I'll close the work session on HCR 29. And we are excuse me, the chair's here.
Leave you alone for...
We passed a bill on everything.
Welcome back.
I would like to open a public hearing work session on HCR 30. Erin, will you please describe the measure?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 30 designates Oregon as a Purple Heart state.
Representative Huffman and whoever you would like to bring with you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
He lobbied the bill ahead of time and decided he wasn't going to talk to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
All those in favor?
And whoever would like to go first, just please identify yourself.
All right. For the record, my name is Joel DeLashanti. I am Portland Chapter 72, Adjutant of the Military Order of Purple Heart. Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I saw her earlier, but she disappeared. Vice Madam Chair Smith Warner, for giving me this opportunity to speak. Respective members of the committee, thank you, and state legislator. I will be available to answer any questions after my testimony. The ideal behind support of our veterans extends to recognition. Basically, in order for our citizens to recognize a veteran, we should first understand and be aware of what a veteran is. A veteran is a member of the local community that decided to serve America in times of conflict and in times of peace. Through our many different local spheres, throughout the generations in our history, the multitude of what a veteran means varies. Oregon has the opportunity to be at the forefront throughout the country supporting veterans, creating itself as the 15th recognized Purple Heart state, helping to foster an environment that makes the citizens aware of the veteran population. Every day I'm aware of sacrifice. Why? Because every day I have to put on a prosthetic leg, and I have to think with every step about that prosthesis. My limb loss came from combat in Afghanistan. I am fortunate that I live in a great country that can give me the means to walk and not roll around in a wheelchair. And I know even if we weren't such a capable country, that there are already patriotic citizens that could help me walk instead of roll. I don't want to think of the if-sos, but I want to think of the if everybody was aware of the sacrifices of the veterans, that we would all continue to stay free and be aware and patriotic, obviously. So the huge advocate of the Purple Heart state sponsorship isn't here. There was a motorcycle accident, a fatal motorcycle accident, so he had to turn around. But his testimony has been submitted for a record. I'm here joined with the department commander for the Military Order of Purple Heart. Our department is state, so he's a state commander for our organization. And thank you for your time.
My name is Charles Upton, and I'm the State Department Commander for the Military Order of the Purple Heart. And it is my pleasure being here. Madam Hoyle, distinguished guest. The reason I'm here is to help pass this bill. It is one of the greatest ambitions of my career that this be passed, not for myself, but for the entire nation of Purple Heart recipients. We have sacrificed much on a volunteer basis, and we want to tell Oregon how much we appreciate the sacrifice that you have given us. Some of us cannot walk. Some of us have brain injuries. But Oregon has stepped up and opened up their arms to us. And this is a great honor for us to come here and even think about having Oregon as a Purple Heart state. We will be the 15th state in the nation to be called Purple Heart state. And I think that every member, not a Purple Heart recipient especially, but every veteran in Oregon, every veteran that comes to Oregon will know that Oregon supports their veterans and supports the sacrifice that they've given. A lot of us veterans were wounded, but not by shells, but just by the thought of having to do what we've done. So I thank you very much for your consideration on this, and I'll turn it over.
Good afternoon, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Cameron Smith, the director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, an honor to be with the cross generations with us today, recipients of the Purple Heart. For those of you that have served in the military, just that recognition, that honor and recognition, we will continue to fight for the budgets and for the outcomes across healthcare, mental health, employment, housing. But our veterans coming home, our Purple Heart recipients, don't necessarily need a handout. They are coming back like Joel, like Charlie did in his own time, and continuing to serve our state and nation. And this honor and recognition is important. And just here to add my voice of support, helping to testify on behalf of Lieutenant Colonel Dick Tobiasen, equally working with Representative Huffman, both on the We are now having the I-5 corridor. California and Washington preceded us in naming I-5 the Purple Heart Trail. This session, with your support, we have finally corrected that and added our piece of I-5 so that we will have those signs designating I-5 the Purple Heart Trail. This honor and recognition is one step forward and an important part, and thank Lieutenant Colonel Tobiasen's effort on that front. But happy to take any questions.
Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From a Vietnam-era vet to you guys, I just want to thank you for your service. I feel very passionate about what you guys did. It's guys like you who paid this kind of price, makes guys like me who have easier service wonder sometime, you know, what we actually did. But you guys did something. And so I just want to thank you and say what an honor it is to have you guys sitting here with us today. Appreciate your service and all you did.
Thank you. That was our honor.
And I think I would like to echo Representative Wilson. Thank you not only for your service, for coming here and allowing us to vote on this bill. It seems like a small thing that we can do given what you've given. So thank you for that. And with that, I would accept a motion, Representative Gilliam, unless any other. I'd accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I'm proud to make this motion that we move HCR 30 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HCR 30 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Yes, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your testimony. Just a very small clarification, particularly for the folks who may be listening. The other gentleman that was going to speak, there was an accident that prevents him, but...
That's correct, Vice Chair.
Any other clarification on that?
No, he's a Purple Heart recipient as well.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. With that, is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. We'll have Representative Huffman be the carrier on the floor. And again, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
With that, I close the public hearing and the work session. And for those of you who are here for House Bill 2936, 3470, or 3549, those bills will be carried over until tomorrow. So you just gained yourself an hour and a half. Oh, and we're carrying over House Bill 2668 as well. With that, I will open a work session. Open. Work session on House Bill 2879. Erin, will you describe the measure?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2879 was heard on May 20th, at which time the committee adopted the Dash 4 Amendment, which replaced the underlying measure that came to us. The Dash 4 Amendment and the measure as now, it directs the Board of Pharmacy to adopt rules allowing a licensed pharmacist to prescribe, dispense hormonal contraceptive patches and self-administered oral hormonal contraceptives to a person who is at least 18 years of age or a person under 18 years of age if person has evidence of previous prescription. It directs the board to work in consultation with the Oregon Medical Board and Oregon Health Authority with consideration from the American Congress of Obstetrics and Gynecologist guidelines to develop standard procedures for prescribing and dispensing contraceptives. You have a Dash 7 amendment. The Dash 7 amendment is a complete redraft of the Dash 4s. It has four additional changes to it. The Dash 7s adds the State Board of Nursing as a consultant in the rulemaking process. It adds women's health care practitioner as permissible original prescriber for contraceptive prescription for under 18-year-olds. It removes requirement that the State Board of Pharmacy adopt rules for dispensing of contraceptives and applies all state and federal laws governing insurance coverage of prescription contraceptive drugs, devices, and products to the contraceptive prescribed by the pharmacist. We have a no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact on the Dash 7 amendment. This measure was and did have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. With the adoption of the Dash 7, which we can adopt right over the Dash 4s, we will ask that the subsequent referral be rescinded, and we have received permission to do that.
Okay, I would accept a motion to adopt the Dash 7 amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we adopt the Dash 7 amendments to this House bill, which is number 2879.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved to adopt the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 2879. Is there discussion? Yes, Representative. Should we recess?
I don't think I realized you were going to.
Okay, we'll recess for a short moment. And we have a motion on the floor. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. I'd accept a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 2879 to the floor as amended. And a subsequent referral
has been rescinded.
So
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved House Bill 2879 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the subsequent referral to Ways and Means has been rescinded. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, the motion passes. Close the work session on House Bill 2879. Representative Bueller, would you like to carry the bill? Great. With that, okay, I will. Be waiting. It wasn't quite a tap. It was, you know.
Really?
It was more of a kind of. I was resting. It was more like resting the gavel.
Which I wish you would do more often.
What else? We still have the HCR 31 on the calendar.
Yes.
Of course, we also have Post and Go, of course, Madam. Yes. Madam Chair.
Oh yes, we do.
I assume there are half a dozen bills you'd like to move today.
Yes, there are, and yet the speaker has said no. Joy. HCR 31. With that, I will open a public hearing and work session on HCR 31. Representative Rayfield.
Good afternoon, everyone. Dan Rayfield, House District 16. It's a pleasure to be here on a bill that isn't about the University of Oregon. this is about the Oregon State University women's basketball team. If you don't know, those of you who haven't been following, they were the Pac-12 champions this year. They've had really an incredible year. They essentially took away the Pac-12 title away from Stanford University, who had actually had the title for 14 years in a row. So it was a very big achievement under their coach, who was named the John Wooden Pac-12 Coach of the Year. It goes on and on. Ruth Hamblin, their center, was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. And the accolades continue, as you would expect from Oregon State University, our flagship university, the only university in Oregon that is a land-grant college, and in fact one of the only two universities in the entire United States that has a land-grant on basically all four areas. So with that, I would be happy to accept some snide comments or questions from the panel. I could see Representative Gilliam.
Representative Barnhart. yes. Did you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, he did. At the very beginning.
Representative Rayfield.
Is he in the house?
Which house?
When it's snide, I thought.
Yeah, no, there you go. Well done. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the chance to comment on this bill. I think it is a fine achievement for any of the teams of our Oregon universities to achieve the championships that this basketball team has achieved. And I'm very pleased to support the resolution. I do reserve my right to comment further on the floor on the or ask questions, perhaps, on the resolution. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. I'm certainly looking forward to that. Any other? Yes, Representative Kenema.
Chair, I was just wondering if you'd be open to maybe a modest amendment to commend University of Oregon and PSU and Western and Eastern Oregon. I missed one.
Western.
OIT.
OIT.
And
Southern.
I just think we want to make everybody feel included and helpful. and after our experience on the floor, I'm just thinking it might be helpful to make this a unifying bill.
Chair Hoyle, Representative Kenemer, this bill is the product of an entire session of labor and negotiations. To come to the terminology, I fear that if we were to change it now, it might stall the tentative agreement that we have in place.
Wow. Excellent point, Representative. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is such an appropriate bill for you to be bringing. Do you know anything about the traditions when you win a championship? For instance, what would you do as a ceremony at the end of a game like this? I'm sure they did it.
Chair Hoyle, Representative Gilliam, one of the typical traditions would be to pour the Gatorade on top of your coach.
No. Get a ladder.
Chair Hoyle, Representative Gilliam, you might cut down the net.
Yeah, and Representative, what do you call those little things the net makes up?
No idea.
I call them holy deals.
But that's all? You wouldn't call those little loopholes?
Oh, well, Chair Hoyle, Representative Gilliam, we recently adopted a new town into our district, as you may know, called Loopville. And so that is, it is a very new subject for us, and so we're working on that.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam.
Got the reference.
With that, anything else? All right, so I would accept a motion. Representative Gilliam. That's you.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I move HCR 31 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Gilliam has moved HCR 31 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I plan to support this, although this is the era where every kid gets a trophy just for showing up to protect his self-esteem. But I will go ahead and support this, even though I'm not getting a trophy out of this today. Okay. Thank you.
Representative Wilson, we'll put that on your wish list for a go home.
Thank you.
Maybe all that right. Could be a friendly amendment.
Yes. Yes, maybe. With that, see, oh, yes.
No. I would simply note, Madam Chair, that this kind of conversation is the sort of thing that ends up on the sign-a-die tape. I would certainly commend Representative Wilson for that subject.
Fantastic. With that, hearing no other discussion and seeing no actual objection, the motion passes. Representative Rayfield, would you like to carry this bill?
I'm a graduate of Oregon State, and I'd like to carry this bill.
I already gaveled out. I would love to, but I forgot.
It's too late.
I dropped the gavel too fast. How about you co-carry it?
You give me nothing.
You'll get a trophy.
There's quite a bit. It's just not good.
Madam Chair, I would be happy to co-carry this.
No, I want it all or nothing.
All right. With that, we will see you here tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So we
have previous engagement. Madam Chair, I'm disappointed. Why don't we meet on Friday?
Friday at 3. If you can get your colleagues to agree that we should meet Friday at 3, I'm happy to accommodate that. Representative, until then, Thursday at 3. Thank you. We are adjourned. Thank you, we are adjourned.